Okay, so I'm going to read from the beginning of the book, which is a story called The Bergamot Weekly Almanac, which is masquerading as a journalistic piece, an editorial. In fact, the final editorial from Frank Fetters, who is the longtime editor of this weekly publication, The Bergamot Weekly Almanac. Bergamot Pond was never blue. For a long time, it was actually rather murky. It was full of carp in those days, and the scaly bottom feeders kept the water stirred with their constant foraging of the muddy bottom, an aquatic version of a pig's rooting for food amidst its own feces. If you live in Bergamot Pond environs, as most of you readers do, this analogy should seem appropriate, considering the origins of the lake. The 200 acres of brownish water was once a hog farm. In the first decade of the 20th century, Claude Bergamot flooded his farm to create the lake. He settled on naming it Bergamot Pond purely for the euphony of the moniker. Bergamot was a pig farmer with a poet's ear. A dam was built to control runoff. Fingerling game fish were stocked, and cabins began to appear where farrowing crates had been. Real estate advertisements at the time touted the aquamarine waters of Bergamot Pond. Claude's farm became a vacation destination. But in the 40s came the carp, Bergamot Pond's own blitzkrieg. Many residents here at this time believed the lake was in fact still a farm for swine, only the finned variety. I personally believe the swine of this place have always been legged. I must confess that I have had a long and sordid love affair with this pond, this pseudo-lake. You all know my eccentricity, my keening for local yore and tendency to dramatize. You see my face and words yellowing in newsprint on tagboards about town. You add coned hats and ass's ears. You know me as the editor of this Bergamot Almanac, the man whose weeklies are prone to ponder over the character of our town fonder, Père Bergamot, French voyageur who spawned the pig farmer, who spawned this lake, this town, this existence. I am a redundant fixture here, but on this, the sesquicentennial celebration of our town, our 150th summer, I endeavor to be different. I hazard to turn my lens inward to give you the intersection of one man and one place. This is to be an unwrappering, the taking out of a long newspaper ornament. Because I myself wonder that I came to love this lake, lacking in mystery, purity, and big fish, those entities for which most lakes are loved. Except that I was farrowed here. Like a Vichy hog trained to snort out truffles, I grew up rooting these shores and muddy bottoms for things that crawled or swam. These things I felt a kinship with. These things I still feel akin to in those with mud as their essence. There are always those who would dredge a mud lake. They don't understand there is no rock or clarity in its nature. Mud returns, fortified. There are those who cringe at the thought of sinking their bodies into murky water, their feet into muddy bottoms. Of late, there are those who would attempt to aerify all things stagnant and putrefied. I rollick in swampiness, rejoice in algae and bog. I am descended from bottom feeders. I am of the breed that crawled forth from the brine on the white skin of our underbellies. I erect no pickets around the outhouse of my soul. I suppose we don't have much choice where we take root. Bloom where you're planted, my old father used to say. I would not have chosen for myself this place, seemingly barren of cultural fodder. I have had scant occasion to write of wars, national trends, or social movements. These events swirled around the lake, but we were left as a vacuum, unscathed. Neither have there been adulteries, crimes of passion, scant big fish stories. Nothing remarkable has ever happened here. You people saw to that. As you know, I spent my time writing about your news, your sidewalk and roadwork vetoes, your ongoing battle against municipal sewer, a water tower, your curfews, boating regulations, fish, ha, limits, your weddings, obits, weather reports, and police blotters. But these Saturdays, in this op-ed page, in this space I call Slack Lines, this has been the space for my news. My stories have been histories, and I have aged here like a history. You line your bird cages with these, my life droppings. This double truck should last you. but my peculiar roots once prospered in this loamy ground just the same. In my childhood, they took well to the sediment-rich soil here and spread unhindered as a vast and pulsing network of capillaries. Then, on a summer's morning, they died. But the brittle remains of this ductwork still extend to caress the bare feet of bergamot summertime. In those heydays of the carp epidemic, this would have been 40-odd years after Claude Bergamot, grandson of the voyageur, dug a hole and flooded his pig farm. In those days did I begin my boyhood here on Bergamot Pond. In those days was I alive and part of the happenings of this place, not merely a recorder of them. I was the news. I was as you are. Now, in my familiar role as recorder, I recount a specific event that we may garner the universal. I keep my cynical comments to myself when I can help it, though at times I succumb to my nature. I employ humor and pathos in a manner not entirely journalistic. For this, my farewell address, my celebratory unraveling begins, my parting gift to Bergamot Pond.